Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and I'm pleased to have my guest today, Margaret DeWise. Her book, Ecstatic Healing, A Journey into the Shamanic World of Spirit Possession and Miraculous Medicine. Basically, she has had experience with the psychic surgery of John of God to telepathic visions of Credo Mutwa. I believe that my spiritual parents visited with Credo when they were in South Africa. They told me stories about him, so I found this book very interesting. And, of course, John of God has been to Atlanta and is in Brazil now with psychic surgery. A very interesting story. Many years ago in the military, I was, by a three-star general, I was given a book on John of God out of the blue. It's funny how things work. Welcome, Margaret. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Doctor. It's really great to be here. And hello, Atlanta, one of the towns I love in the U.S.
Well, you'll have to come by and visit when you come here next.
Good, good.
So where are you calling in from?
I'm calling in from upstate New York, and we're having sun today, which is super. I'm on the Hudson River, which is about 2 miles wide, and we have small mountains around here, the Berkshires and the Catskills, and this is my home.
Well, great. Well, you've had quite an interesting adventure with some remarkable health challenges yourself, and I found it very, very interesting to read your story because so much of what you've been through, I've had peripheral experience with, and it certainly is an interesting world, especially when you try to reconcile it with modern medicine. But I think it can be reconciled, and maybe we'll get to talk about that today. So, would you like to start off with your fascination? I guess starting first with the rapture of the Holy Rollers, and later what happened when a sacred Zulu necklace was placed around your neck.
Well, to start off, to start off with that, those are objects of power, as the Zulu necklace, which, as you know. I think you know, and I'd love to talk to you about it. Certain healers, spiritual people have power that that flows through all of the universe and the earth and can do what we consider marvelous things and also take us to the spirit world. This necklace that I touched 20, maybe almost 20 years ago, or I can't do the addition. the minute I touched it, I started shaking and frothing at the mouth, and it was like this huge ray, this thunderous electricity had come through my body. And the person that had handed it to me said, "Hold the power, take it in." It was totally unexpected because there were a number of other people that touched the necklace, and it was just like touching a cup of coffee, but for me, there was a resonance that was extraordinarily powerful. It turned out that the necklace was the necklace of the High Senussi Vuzama Zulu Credo Mutwa in South Africa. And so the part of the story in the book Ecstatic Healing begins with the Zulu necklace, and it takes me through to work with different spiritual leaders and healers until I meet with the high priest of the Zulus.
Right.
That's that story.
Well, you know, it probably, if you look back, the encounter with the necklace gave you information that certain energies could come through you and were supposed to come through you. These energies are very, very powerful, and if they can't get through you safely, they will probably not come through you. I mean, you know, because that's probably a safety mechanism they have. But I want to go back a little bit to the Holy Rollers, because this is the Christian equivalent of this energy coming through. Would you like to talk a little bit about what you know about the Holy Rollers?
I was a young child, and I was completely fascinated with the way that they prayed. Their relationship, because there was a lot of energy and it seemed like there was a lot of love. Of course, As a young child, the speaking in tongues and the rolling on the ground, for me, was more than a fascination, whereas I think, I'm guessing, adults find that threatening and scary if you're not part of a church like that. What do you think about that? Is that correct?
Well, I think there's two instances. One is the Quakers, where they shake.
Mm-hmm.
And I think shaking and Shakti healing go together. You've probably heard of Shakti healing, where you jerk.
Sure.
I do that a lot when I'm doing healing. And so I think quaking and shaking and the, of course, the gifts of the Spirit come together, which would be the gift of prophecy, the gift of speaking in tongues, the gift of interpreting tongues, and then the, you know, the Holy Spirit coming through and manifesting and healing. And I think that there are enough, I've been in churches in the South where all of this is done. So there are certain churches that have, tremendously amazing energy when you walk in the room and they're in the midst of their, you know, doing the prayer and the practices. And I felt, you know, I felt the energy right away. And I think that would be the equivalent of the energy coming into the groups that you worked with, maybe in Africa or South America, but it just is a different type of presentation. You know, in other words, to a regular person in America, what you were experiencing in Brazil would be a little scarier than what they would see with the Holy Rollers or the Quakers.
I'm not sure about that, if it would be scarier. It's, people in Brazil, when they see John of God doing, cutting someone's brain open and pulling out a tumor.
Right, that's pretty scary.
It's gross. I mean, you're a doctor. You're used to seeing blood, okay?
I saw John of God in Atlanta, and of course he wasn't allowed to do that here, but they certainly showed films of it. So I've witnessed the, at least through a film. It was pretty gory.
I've seen him, you know, since, well, almost 14 years. I've been going back and forth. And he's just the most delicious being because his mission is to help his brothers and sisters on earth. And honestly, he spends at least a third of his life in an unconscious trance so that spirit entities can come through and do the healing work. A lot of people that come from the United States are mystified because they will have certain psychic experiences that they're certainly not, they haven't experienced before. And I think, you know, for grown-ups, when certain things like that happen, it's like, is that for real? They try to make the logic, make it go away. And that's, you know, I think in America, well, my parents with the Holy Rollers, they thought this was nonsense. And also, well, for them, perhaps it's threatening because you wouldn't want anybody to go into a nonsensical field, I would suppose, you know, and believe in things that cannot be seen. So, I've seen people in situations like that, and they're aghast, you know, because it's a little bit overly thrilling and a little bit overly horrifying, because how can this be true?
Well, I had an interesting experience the first time I saw a psychic surgeon here in Atlanta. This is a prominent psychic surgeon, one that is definitely has a lot of, you know, miraculous tumor extractions and all sorts of stuff. He's been coming to the States for years and is well known. I went in to see him, and he said to me, it's very interesting what he said. He said, it's an honor to meet you. You do what I do, except you don't bring it into the physical. Now, that taught me a lot. At the time I was doing healing, and of course tumors were reducing in size, and, you know, people were getting, miraculous healings. Not every time, of course, but a lot of times where nothing else would work after the healing, their condition would be much improved, sometimes for life, sometimes permanently. And I knew that I wasn't doing anything like what he was doing, which was, you know, because you could see the blood and the gore and the tumors coming out when you watched him. But you don't have to have that happen. In other words, the energy, and I know you know this, because the energy can go into the person with a tumor and shrink the tumor. And it shrinks right away. I mean, you don't have to wait. It shrinks. I mean, you can measure it, and then you can do the healing, and you can measure it again, and it's half the size. So, you know, you don't have to remove the tumor. What the psychic surgeon told me was that all they do is they remove the energy, but then they transmute it back down into the physical so the person can see it was done. So it's actually more to prove it to the person.
That's absolutely true. You'll be in the Casa of John of God, and there'll be 1,000 people, and he'll be cutting into someone, and he'll say, I don't need to do this. This is
not
necessary.
Right.
This is for you people to get some faith.
Right,
basically.
Exactly. So he does know that.
So that you, he's completely aware of that. And as you know, and as you said earlier, all of this takes place in the spiritual dimension. Necessarily in the physical. Steps down to the physical.
Yeah, it manifests in the physical, but you don't have to have proof. Like if you're removing a tumor, the tumor can disappear on its own without any necessity for actually throwing the tumor in a basin covered in blood.
Exactly.
Which is what John of God does and the psychic surgeons do. But it is that energy coming through them. The idea that etheric surgeons do exist and etheric healers do exist in a higher dimension than what we can see with our normal perceptual awareness. But many of us see them. I see them around John of God. I see them. I saw them around Ram Dass. My video production company did an hour-long video on Ram Dass, and I saw the interviewer would ask him a question, and then there would be 8 entities above his head that would then stream information to him, and then he would pause, and then he would start to talk. It was just really amazing to see those entities above him and how they transferred information to him. So,
it's really interesting that you brought that up, because the book that Ecstatic Healing took place around 2003, so we're 10 years on, and I'm become much more interested in the spiritual dimension, long distance healing, working with new people who I think are, phenomenal expressions of what can come into a physical being on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I find that you're absolutely right. A lot has to do with people's faith. And, of course, in Brazil, there will be certain people that have absolutely no faith, and they get healed.
Mm-hmm.
And for most of us, being able to be open to the possibility, which means to have some faith that something like this is possible, is a critical first step. And thus, the physical surgeries and so on. But it's absolutely unnecessary in terms of healing an individual.
Yes, when the spiritual surgeons work through they can work through a healer, or they don't have to work through a healer. They can work on you without anybody being around. And you actually feel the manipulations inside your body. I had a broken arm that wasn't healing, probably because my bone density was so low, and it just wasn't healing. I mean, nothing. They'd done everything, the bone stimulators, everything you can think of, and it just wasn't healing. And I was told by my spiritual teacher that when I went to Hawaii, I'd have a healing done. And I was just sitting at lunch, looking out on the ocean, and I felt the presence of the spirits. I mean, I felt Michael the Archangel and a lot of the other high entities. And then I felt an incision being made over the fracture site. It was a closed fracture. And I felt the bones being, they shifted a little bit, and then they were welded together. And I was guided to get an x-ray before and after this. And the one before showed the break, and the one after showed that they had they'd been put back together. And I was told to wear the sling for 3 days. In other words, it's just like surgery. You know, you have to, it's just like surgery. You can't go ahead and move it around. It's probably glued together, whatever you want to call it. I don't know exactly what they do. But that was... Before, whenever I moved my arm, bone would go on bone, and you could feel it, and it would hurt like heck. And then afterwards, the healing began, and the arm healed again. So, I was given a prophecy that this would happen. I didn't know when or how, but it just happened. And like I said, I didn't need anybody else for it to happen. I was aware of it happening. And it's very much like surgery. I mean, I'm a surgeon, I know. It doesn't hurt, but you feel everything within you just as if you're being operated on.
I completely understand that, because I've seen it in Brazil, and I've seen it in the Amazon in Ecuador.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most interesting for me, there was a Swiss man whose leg, he'd fallen from a parapenting, that's hand gliding, and mm-hmm. it was completely shattered, and they wanted to fly him to Zurich, and he needed several surgeries and a lot of pins. I mean, it was crap.
Mm-hmm.
And the healer that I worked with said, I can heal you without any surgery. Let me, and he said, okay, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Later, the guy was walking, no surgery, no pins, the bone mended together. He had to keep these plasters on it, herbal plasters, but everything lined up. And we're talking mm-hmm. shattered bone. And the guy walks perfectly today.
Mm-hmm.
So, there are lots of great things that can be done for people outside of surgery that are willing to try and know certain people that can do that kind of work. And they work with doctor spirits. But this particular case, the man was put to sleep for 3 days, and the doctor spirits came down and did the work
mm-hmm.
of mending, I don't know, several, maybe dozens of pieces of bone and hitching them back together. No surgery, no pins. And that sounds like your arm.
Yeah, It was a very interesting experience, especially because I was guided to get the x-rays before and after, as physical proof, but also because it was as if I had surgery. I mean, it was,
right.
Like I said, you had to rest it, you had to be in the sling, you had to do certain things, and the area felt like it had had surgery. It was a different feeling than, say, when you get a healing. You know, when you get a healing, you don't have the sensations inside your body as if somebody's working on you.
Well, the interest in terms of Brazil and John of God, there are certain things that once someone has an invisible surgery, which
mm-hmm.
means that a spirit goes in you, and sometimes you can feel the hands in your stomach, that you
mm-hmm.
don't eat certain things, one
right.
being black pepper. And
isn't that interesting?
Entity, and they say because it sometimes you have internal stitches and it irritates the stitches. We want you to have all possibility of being healed, and also
uh-huh.
you must make this commitment because you're part of the healing process. So you'll see certain people that come, they'll sit in this surgery room for 5 minutes, and
mm-hmm.
they kind of fall asleep. They come out, they're a little disoriented. They'll sit down, and you look down, everyone wears white there, and there's blood on the shirt because the person has been surgically cut during
mm-hmm.
that time inside the body. And this possibility that does take place in Brazil, and obviously with the spirit people that you work with, it's
mm-hmm.
honestly not that unusual, and... we're just all very fortunate that we can use this kind of healing while we're on Earth. Absolutely.
Well, I think that in the next few years, because the energy is going to be very favorable for interdimensional communication, including interdimensional surgery, I think that we're going to learn a lot more about this than we currently know. I really think that it's going to be something that will grow tremendously.
I hope we keep in contact about that, and super.
And, you know, almost every group of Aborigines has stories of these healings, especially with fractures that are displaced and other injuries where people are worked on by invisible forces and bones aligned and, you know, all sorts of things. Wounds heal up remarkably quickly. And I've read, you know, the Australian Aborigine stories. I've read other, you know, shamans in Peru. So this is not just found in one place, like in Brazil with John of God. This is actually, it's actually found all over the planet, and has probably been in existence much, much longer than traditional medicine has.
Absolutely. And one can, in your own home, contact these, I call them medical spiritual beings, for health and healing. One way that's easy for people is if you know the beings that work with the CASA, because you have to have a connection and a knowledge that they exist. But you can call on them, and they can come and work on you. You don't have to be affiliated with anything or even believe.
Right. But you do have to ask. That's very important.
There you go.
Very important point.
Yeah, you must ask.
Right.
And I don't know, do you work with long-distance healing for people in other parts of the world?
Yes. I mean, I'm familiar with long-distance healing, and in fact, it's never failed to work. You know, we do nose jobs, rhinoplasties and septoplasties as plastic surgeons, and sometimes because of just the nature of people blowing their nose or taking something that might make them bleed, they'll start bleeding after surgery. And one of the things I've always learned to do, you know, I used to just send them to the ER and meet them there, but I found it much easier to send indigo. Indigo will stop bleeding, and it stops it really, really fast.
Hey,
so, that was my first long distance healing, was to keep me from having to go to the ER.
Yay! Wow.
Yeah.
So, did you learn that when you were young?
Probably in my 30s, I think. I was working with color healing for a long time. You know, you realize that orange is great for asthma, but you don't want to send orange to a cancer patient because it can make the tumor grow. Red's good for anemia, but you wouldn't want to send it to a patient who just was in a car wreck because their pain would get worse.
Yeah.
So there's all sorts of things about color. And we send color. I mean, we send it, you know, long distance. And it's just, it's very interesting, but it's something that can fix things very quickly and in an emergency. If someone's in pain, you can send blue, and if they have nerve pain, you can send lavender. That'll stop that. And you know, basically, your thoughts are frequency vibrations, and when they have too much of a certain frequency, which is red, red is pain, and that has been measured. That's not me saying it. They've been measured in UCLA research labs, where they can quantitate the amount of pain someone's in by measuring the amount of red in their field. So you send blue, and basically the pain goes away. I was doing a demonstration for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution of healing, and I was healing one of my patients, and the cameraman was filming it. And after about 3 minutes, he said, "I've had a migraine headache for 2 days, and now it's gone." And I said, "Well, healing is a field effect, and you know this.
Right.
Healing is a field effect, and so therefore, when you come into the field with all of its blues and purples and things for pain healing, of course your pain will go away. It has to go away."
You know, it's interesting. I have people that I consult with over the phone, people I haven't met, who are in a pickle because they've got a disease that is taking them down.
Right.
And they need help, and they want to know what they can do. And sometimes I send them to different healers. Sometimes I work on them, depending.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain diseases that, you know, stage 4 cancer, something that they say, you're terminal, it's there's nothing that can be done. But in fact, the person, you talk to them 25 years later.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that I was grappling with for years, you know, when, because, you know, in Brazil for, you know, 14 years, I've seen thousands of sick people. It, you know, is the suffering, as you know, is big.
It is
and
huge.
It's huge. It's the human condition.
Yeah.
Why does this person that has stage 4 something or another get healed and the other person that has exactly the same thing doesn't? People
mm-hmm.
want to know, well, can this person heal me or should I go to that person or the other person?
Mm-hmm.
And I've really understood that the great healers can heal everything. They're not specialists in Lyme and cancer and MS.
Right. That's true.
They can heal
That's
everything.
That's very true. Yeah.
Can they heal everybody? No.
No. No.
Why?
They can't.
Because
well, some
they're
of
not
it,
God.
Some of it's, well, no, some of it's karmic.
Exactly.
When I lay hands on, I will hear. Like RSD is often karmic, okay, reflex sympathetic dystrophy, a horrible pain condition. And I will flash back to the incident where it came from, often in a past life. But it's karmic. No, you can't change it. You might be able to help them deal with it. You know, you can always help people, no
Absolutely.
Matter what. But to take it away, no, they're going to have it for a certain period of time, and then when the karma's over, it'll go away. And some people choose to go out with cancer. Their death date is known, and it's set.
Right.
And they're going to go out, and they go out with cancer because it is a way to reconcile everything and go through all the stages of death without, you know, just having the heart attack or getting hit by the car where you don't have all those options. And I find a lot of people who die of cancer have a very strong fear of death that they end up getting over before they die. Which is interesting.
It's very interesting, yeah. And so my point is, which goes exactly with what you're saying, is that everyone can be healed. All healers can heal all diseases, well, good ones. But not everything is meant to be healed by that particular healer because your body is actually the healer.
Mm-hmm.
Your body is the deep knowledge and being of what you need.
Right.
And so that's another thing. What does the healer actually do? Do they open up a field of possibilities so that your life, your experience can encompass more so that your body, which knows everything, can take that information and fix itself?
I think a lot of times healers just remove blockages to the normal healing energy that comes in through the chakra system. If there's a blockage to that energy coming in, and I believe that energy is primarily fifth dimensional energy coming into the third, then healing can occur. And one of the things healers do is just remove the blockages. I mean, you know, you're guided to work on a certain part of the body, and you don't know why. You know, you're just guided to be over that part of the body. Maybe that's where the blockage is.
I agree. And let's talk about the cell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, from what I've understood from my learning experience, is that that's alive and it's conscious.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And if, for instance, that one cell is blocked, it can't necessarily get the information it needs to rejuvenate itself or keep itself alive.
Right.
So unblocking that information for the cell, let's say that information is all frequencies. The cell knows exactly what it's supposed to do, and it takes the frequencies it needs to make itself self-healthy.
Mm-hmm.
That's another kind of model, I think, for healing, how it works.
Well, we know that all the healing energies that all of the different healers use, they call it different things, but it's basically healing energy. I mean, it's basically energy that comes from outside this dimension because you feel it flow in. It doesn't come from the third dimension. It flows into the third dimension.
Indeed.
And it's been measured. Dr. Norm Shealy measured it. It's gigahertz energy. It's very, very high frequency. So it comes in often through a healer. It doesn't have to be through a healer, though. We've talked about invisible healers that can also work in this dimension. But, it, you know, for us who are healers, we feel the energy come into us. We often, it comes in with information. I mean, I'm sure you have this happen, too. You often see the accident. You see the injury. You see the cause. You see the, you know, you know things about the person that there's no way you could have known. And that is information that, you know, sometimes you share with the patient, sometimes you don't, but there's reasons for these blockages. And a lot of times, did you know that metastatic disease is not random? I was shown in one patient, and I was shown a lot of different examples, but this one patient, the first time I was shown, I was doing a healing on her, and she had a bone met in her skull, and I was up there at her crown, and I saw when she was like 12, she got hit with a soccer ball in that exact area. And I said to her, I said, did you get hit with a soccer ball, you know, when you were 12? She said, yeah. I said, where? She pointed right to where the metastatic tumor was. And later on, I found out that when you get an injury, sometimes it injures the etheric. And Casey spoke a lot about injuring the etheric. And then, of course, with the etheric injured, then metastatic disease can go to that area of low energy.
Absolutely. That sounds about right. You know, there's another... I'd like to bring up a story. I had some medicine for someone, I can't say who it is, that was very, very sick. And I brought it back from the Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And this medicine was going to cure this person and take away pain.
Mm-hmm.
The medicine was given freely. The person just had to swallow it.
Right.
And the person said, I can't do that. That's against God. That's not God's medicine.
Okay.
You hear me?
Yeah,
you know,
that, I
like,
do.
There's certain rules and regulations that didn't come from the medical establishment. It
mm-hmm.
was not sanctified by the church that this person went to.
Mm-hmm.
And he felt that God would not want him to take this. So I've met, and this is maybe an extreme case, but I've met several people in their own healing journey where they stop or they don't even allow the opening to take place.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, you know, I mean, basically it's really interesting for them because that's kind of a spiritual spot where they're stuck.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Have you seen?
Well, they'll get to review that on Life Review, you know, what would have happened if they'd taken the medicine. So no worries. They'll get to go through that.
Well, they will, yeah. In other words, yeah, which is also like a bigger scope of the picture. That, okay, so we all have 80 or 90 years or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, you know, at some point you say, well, why bother curing that? Because we're going to do the review, we're going to come back here,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to make it better. This is just a little blip here.
Well,
those blips are very big learning experiences.
They are. There's a sign in my office that is, I think Richard Bach said it, argue for your limitations and they are yours.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's right.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know,
but
everybody has free will. This is a free will zone, so this is why we're in the experiment. So you have the right to refuse all help if you want, but because you're eternal, it really doesn't matter, as you know.
Exactly.
So you go 20 years earlier, does it really matter? 20 years is nothing. So, you know, but yeah, you do get to review everything. And the thing I wish that I could help people with the most is the fear of death. People are terrified of dying. And, you know, it doesn't have to be that scary. And that these emotional things that are so overwhelming are what I think people suffer with the most. I mean, we can give morphine and all sorts of other things for physical pain, but the fear, the horrible fear that people have is just so unnecessary.
It seems to me it's one of those fields of power that one is coming up against that has not been, I don't like to use the word conquered, but as we learn different things on the path, whenever something comes up, it's usually a pretty strong resistance or an emotion and a fear. Fear is one of the biggest modulators in most people's existence, the human being.
Mm-hmm.
That's what gets one scooting as quickly as possible to get out of the hot soup.
Right. I want you to talk a little bit about your experience with the spiders and how it related to the cancer that you had, because I'm fascinated by the fourth dimensional signs and especially how the fourth dimensional symbols and archetypes then correlate with what's going on in the third. I had a similar thing happen to me with spiders and cancer. And then I also had something happen to me where I was seeing snakes in the fourth dimension, and then there was a rattlesnake in my crawl space. And rattlesnakes are just so unusual in my neighborhood. In fact, they said they've never really seen rattlesnakes anywhere near. So having a rattlesnake in my crawl space was quite unusual. But how is it that the fourth dimensional things correlate with what we're going through in the third dimension?
That's a really interesting question that I've thought about for a long time. when an entity or a spiritual being is making contact and communicating with a human, it doesn't matter what language they speak, there's a way to always understand. And for a lot of us who don't have as direct a communication with that high-powered being, because we have to get up to their level to really understand it, there has to be a mode of communication. And the best mode, this is what I've learned, is through symbols. Symbols and pictures. And the other, in relationship to spiders, I've spent a lot of time in different parts of the world. Spiders, to healers and spiritual people, there always means something like cancer, something that is attacking the body. So it's a universal symbol. That doesn't mean anybody that's listening now, if they dream about spiders, that's what's going on. You know, I don't want people to start worrying about that. But once you start learning how beings are communicating with you, you call it the fourth dimension, that's interesting, they make kind of, I guess we could call it a thought form that we can absorb and understand. I think that's, I mean, I would be interested in what you think about that.
Well, I just know that there's a correlation that I was working with shamans, and they were telling me what was going on in the higher dimensions, and it correlated with what was going on in the third dimension. Like when there was a lot of spider activity in the fourth dimension, I was seeing spiders everywhere in the third. And then when there was a lot of snake at a different time, there was a lot of snake energy in the fourth dimension around me, and I was, you know, I had a rattlesnake in my crawl space. Thank God my maintenance guy, he actually is fairly intuitive, and he thought to himself, what if there's a snake in Dr. Kolb's crawl space, and he was going over there to get something, and when he opened the crawl space door, there was a rattlesnake poised to strike, but he killed it first because he was ready for it. And I had been down there, it flooded, and I had been down there in there working in my crawl space while the snake was in there, unbeknownst to me. And the only guidance I got about it was that I should carry my cell phone. I wasn't told not to go down there because I had to go down there. But I was going down to the crawl space behind the house, and I heard, go back and get your cell phone. I said, okay. So I went back and got my cell phone. But I went in, and I guess the snake was in a corner sleeping or something, because I never saw the snake. Of course, the crawl space is gigantic, so I don't know. There's plenty of places for it to hide. But, you know, later on, one of my friends talked to a wildlife expert in the area who said there just aren't rattlesnakes anywhere near where my house is. They don't exist. I mean, they haven't been seen, you know, so that was strange.
One thing you'll see, or a person that would read my book, Ecstatic Healing, near the end when I'm with the High Sanusi Credo Mutua, he teaches me some ways of healing that the Zulu have understood. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest things he says to me, because I'm so fearful, because I've had this disease that's taken me down, and he says to me at a certain point, he says, cancer is afraid of ecstasy.
I think that is so beautiful and
when
so
the soul true. In the body are fearful, cancer loves, is a hungry beast. It loves fear. Mm-hmm. And if you can stop the fear, it's not the cancer that kills you, it's the mind.
Right.
Okay? Later on in that part of the book, and he talks about it being a snake. He, at some point he said spider. I don't believe that's in the book. But we all have these forms in our mind. And yours might be different, someone else's, that will be that symbol for what we're experiencing. And he says, you take it. And I'm guessing from the way you're talking, it will be in the fourth dimension, you see that. And you take your spiritual hand, or you take the fly whisk, and you swish it out of the fourth dimension, and you move it into a dimension where it becomes undifferentiated energy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another way of healing, where you go into that fourth dimension and work with the symbols themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very interesting. And I saw some of that done there. And it was phenomenal. Whatever works, I suppose, right?
Well, my understanding of cancer is that it's organ-based, and even leukemia is the blood, and lymphoma is the lymphatic system. It's organ-based, and it happens when the organ goes down in energy. And the things that can take it down are interesting. Radiation can take it down, carcinogens, any number of aflatoxins from mold. There's all sorts of chemical carcinogens that we're exposed to, all the benzenes and toluenes and ketones. But the thing that takes it down the quickest is emotional.
Right.
And that's called a biological conflict by Dr. Hammer. I'm sure you've heard of the German New Medicine, Dr. Hammer's work, where, say, a woman is right-handed, and she has, if she gets cancer in her left breast, she usually has some sort of a biological conflict where someone who is supposed to be protecting her betrays her. And if it's in her right breast, it's someone that she is nurturing or protecting, even a pet or a parent or a child that is endangered or rejects her or something, and then she gets right breast cancer. Well, when I'm treating breast cancer, because I'm sensitive to these energy patterns, I can usually tell the person the type of biological conflict that they had. I remember one woman walking into my office, and she had had right breast cancer, gotten over, and gotten left breast cancer. And I said to her, well, your right breast cancer was because your son got in trouble and was almost going to die, and your left breast cancer was because your husband cheated on you. And she goes, how did you know? And I said, I just can read it in the field. Mm-hmm. So these are biological conflicts that are very powerful.
Well,
for pancreatic cancer, I was talking with Dr. Nick Gonzalez, of course, and he's like the world's expert on pancreatic cancer. I said, in my experience, it's when somebody gets mad at God, I mean, really angry at God, usually taking their spouse or taking their daughter or taking whatever, but that horrible, angry energy, that black energy where you just hate God and hate life and just are really just full of hate will give you pancreatic cancer. And he thought about it, and he says, yes, I think that's correct.
Well, you know, a couple of things you brought up, like that you said that the energy is low in an organ, and that mm-hmm. could be the beginning. And I agree with that, but sometimes those, let's say the liver energy is low, and some mm-hmm. of those liver cells migrate to another organ. Well, mm-hmm. then that other organ, there's a conflict also of information because the liver is not supposed to be in the stomach or the intestines, and so there's a
right.
conflict of what the two of them are doing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no cohesiveness and no understanding of how living systems work because it breaks down.
Right, cell-cell communication breaks down, definitely.
Right.
That's true.
And I think you're right about emotion and in disease, because you know there's the way I think of it is there's three ways that people can get sick. Mostly, we should all be able to stay healthy. Sometimes there's something genetic that you're born with, and occasionally something can be done about that, and
mm-hmm.
often not. If we take care of our bodies, if we eat well and drink clean water, stay out of toxic environments, that can help us to stay healthy. Also, emotionally, emotions will bring down the energy from organs. And it could be stress, anxiety-related, fear, someone betraying you. But those kind of things will hurt you. So I'm saying that if we can keep our emotions fairly healthy, keep our bodies fairly healthy with food and water, we have a good chance.
You know what modern medicine doesn't understand is toxicity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I deal with all of these women who have chemical, silicone, and biotoxicity from their breast implants. In fact, I'm on Monsters Inside Me with mold inside breast implants on Animal Planet. So, but they don't understand toxicity. So much fibromyalgia is chemical and or biotoxicity or intracellular infections. And, of course, all the intracellular infection stuff has been covered up because it's really the basis of our biological warfare system. So that research isn't done. So mycoplasma, intracellular spirochetes, all of that are rampant. And people are deathly ill from these things, and they get no help because the doctors aren't educated, and that knowledge,
and
the sick building syndrome,
or,
sick building syndrome, everything. Yeah, well, they give you a you know, Prozac or an SSRI inhibitor and tell you to go see a psychiatrist, and it's so funny. I love psychiatrists. You know what they say? This person doesn't have a psychiatric illness. They have a physical illness.
Right.
<in the back.
laughs>
You know, the psychiatrists are at least smart enough to know it's not psychiatric.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's really complicated for us living in the Western world, in the United States. It's, you know, and so many people depend on everything their doctor says, every drug that the doctor gives them.
The doctor doesn't understand toxicity.
I agree. 100%.
We contribute to it by putting people on too many medicines that interact with one another.
That's
it's crazy.
That's exactly where we totally mesh on this. And you know, I don't have television, but there's so many commercials about take this drug and then the side effects take 5 minutes.
And that's not allowed in Europe. You know that? They can't advertise in Europe on TV.
Why would anybody
take
something like that? I mean, you know, it's... There's not enough information for everyday people to really understand that they have a choice and
mm-hmm.
that there might be other methodologies that would be safer for them.
My favorite one is the drug for restless leg syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
They advertise it on TV, and one of the side effects is that you can have excessive gambling and hypersexuality. And I said, you know, before I go to Las Vegas and lose all my money and become pregnant and get an STD, I think I'd rather have restless legs.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that funny?
But it's like some kind of giant cartoon. I mean, you know.
Oh, it's hilarious. It's like, it really is.
Oh, wow. That's very funny. That's
it
really
is.
Funny. I like that. I mean, you know.
Well.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
Yeah.
And they make up diseases. The social unease disease that you can cure with a pill, you know, because you're not, you know, we used to drink alcohol to do that, but now now they have a pill to give you when you're not comfortable in social situations. And they advertise it directly to the public. So the poor people go in and ask their doctor for this pill.
Well, you know, I mean, one thing I've noticed with people, is like, oh, you have high blood pressure. They give you something. Oh, now you have to have a blood thinner. Now you have to have this. Now you have to have that. Now you have to have something to counteract that drug and that drug. And pretty soon the body, talk about toxicity.
If you detox the mercury in about half of people, their high blood pressure goes away and give them a lot of potassium and magnesium.
Yeah.
But getting the mercury out, the mercury affects the kidneys. And so we've been inundated. I've had like 14 fillings myself that had to come out. You have to get the fillings out, and then you have to detox the mercury that is still in your body. And, you know, what's interesting, every time the wave of energy would hit us, and I'm not just talking about me, I'm talking about my friends in my meditation group, these new waves of energy would hit, we'd all become hypertensive at the same time. And
wow.
So we'd all go do our foot baths and our core cilantro and our mercury detox, and then our blood pressure would come back down. So detoxification, this energy that's coming in is detoxifying us, but it will take the mercury deep in your tissues and move it out into the blood where it affects the kidneys. So,
right.
You know, so we're really on a detox mission around here. You know,
well,
we're trying to get this stuff out.
Hello. And, you know, I spent, 15 years in South America in the Amazon jungle. And the first thing anybody gets if they're sick is a detox. You know?
Yeah.
In India, if you're sick, you get detox because part of what is not working in your body is because there's too much sludge in there. There's too much toxins so that
right.
it can't listen to what it's supposed to be doing. This is the only country that nobody considers detoxing on a general level. And that's one of the first things that one has to do to clean up the body.
It's very true. And that those countries have a lot less toxicity than we do. My homeopath and front desk supervisor is from India and grew up in India. And so the first thing I did was put her in a foot bath, right? Mm-hmm. And she didn't have anything come out.
Yeah.
She's not toxic. And,
yeah.
and I mean, everybody else is extremely toxic. I have employees that if they eat too much seafood on the weekend, they end up in the ER with high blood pressure on, you know, two or three blood pressure medicines. They have so much mercury in their bodies that they need to, you know, they can't eat fish or, you know, some fish that is high in mercury without going into a hypertensive crisis.
The Amazonian tribal people will take a cleansing drink where it's basically enematic, is there such a word, and to cause them to vomit everything out of their stomach at least once a week or once every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for them, they say it gets rid of bile, it gets rid of mucus, it gets rid of viruses, it gets rid of bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
If we do this, we don't get malaria, we don't get yellow fever, but their bodies are clean. And they don't get sick, and they're not taking penicillin, and they're not taking, you know, other kinds of drugs. And so that kind of cleanliness is really something that us Americans can look at to help ourselves.
Yeah, there's plenty of instances where, like children with lymphoma or other life-threatening diseases, that the parents didn't want to put them on chemo and instead did detox, especially the foot baths and other pretty extreme detoxification, and the children got well. Because children, you know, their immune systems are a lot better than our immune systems are later in life. And so if you take away the offending substances, the toxins, especially if it's chemical, if you take those away, then the body can heal itself.
Exactly. What kind of foot baths do you, or do you have different kinds?
We have two foot baths. One is hydrophilic chemicals. We use the Aqua Detox system, but there's other systems out there. That gets rid of arsenic and heavy metals. The water turns colors. and there's a bunch of sludge in it, and you do it so that the water will still be kind of a brownish orange, but there won't be all the sludge. But then the other one we have, which is really remarkable, is electrolysis foot bath. That does hydrophobic chemicals. That's mostly the chemicals in silicone that are carcinogens and neurotoxins. So that foot bath is interesting. I do a lot of workman's comp, and we'll put them in the electrolysis foot bath. It stays clear, but the whole room will smell like the chemical they were doused in. A lot of them have chemical burns, and they go that smell. That's the chemical that I worked around, and I got it on me, and it'll actually come out into the room as a volatile chemical. Mm. So
what about people that, you know, like the food that we eat has so many additives that are really detrimental to the body. Can you use these foot baths for someone that was born on, for instance, I don't know if I can say this, Burger King or
I don't know for sure. I was told, I did a sound analysis of the toxins in my body like a couple of times every year. Mm-hmm. And I think that some of the things like insecticides are harder to get out. You know, when you eat food that's not organic, and some of the more complex chemicals, they may come out, but I think you may have to do other things, like maybe infrared saunas, sweating, other detox methods. I used a lot of detox methods, like Zeo Gold and Core Cilantro for mercury, and Oral Chelation Longevity Plus for lead. So.
Right.
You know, all of the, it really depends on what you've got. We usually muscle test. We use applied kinesiology to figure out what would work best from various methods. Chlorella is very good for a lot of things.
Yeah.
Depends on what you have.
From your practice, that average Americans are taking in a lot of toxins from non-organic
foods. Huge amounts.
Okay. And
huge
water.
Huge amounts.
Okay.
Water. I mean, when we were young, there was leaded gasoline, as you know.
Right.
We got lead, you know, from all sorts of things. So, yeah, I think everybody benefits from detox, and I think you should do it several times a year. Well, we are coming up at the end of our hour. Would you like to give your contact information?
Sure. My website is margaretdewise.com. margaretdewys.com. There you can see things about my book, Ecstatic Healing, my book, Black Smoke, which takes place in the Amazon jungle, about consultations, tour groups to South America, and some interviews.
Well, great. Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show. It's been a delightful conversation. Learned a lot, and hope to have you back on.
Thank you so much, Doctor. It was my pleasure, and I really enjoyed meeting you.
Well, great. Next week, we're going to have Dr. Eric Love, Healing Your Emotional Baggage. And on the 7th, Donna Smith Moncrief, Medium 7, Evidence of the Afterlife and Predictions. And on the 14th, Peter Ludwig, Mystic Peak Chronicles, Book 1, Sex and Mysticism. Anyway, thanks a lot for joining us. We've been interviewing Margaret DeWise, her book, Aesthetic Healing, A Journey into the Shamanic World of Spirit Possession and Miraculous Medicine. Please join us next week.